Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our broadcast. It's been a minute since I spoke to you. This is your friend and brother, the Lozi Boy, Mobira Christopher, Wanki Pombe, Singungulu, Shimpundu, Handsome Man, to Watch Man with the Purpose. Now, I am talking to you today from Zambia, a place where birds fly backwards. Welcome. How's been your week? Listen, I want to talk to you about an exciting topic today. One of my favorite topics, one of my great passions, and it's called The Power of Dirty Jobs. The Power of Dirty Jobs. If you look at America and the model of wealth creation in America, if you look at the American dream and how it is achieved, you'll find that the model of wealth creation in America is simple. Generally speaking, the millionaires of America got there by inventing something, by starting a business, growing that business. When it grew, they either invited someone to be a shareholder, that project was financed. When that grew, they then did what is called initial public share offering, IPOs. An IPO is where you take your company, which is private, and you put it in the public domain. So let's say you are 10 people in that shareholding, you, your brother, your mother, and so on and so forth, and you, the owner of that idea, you say to yourself, 50% of the shares are mine. The remaining 50%, 30% I'll give it to the public, 20% I'm giving it to my mother, my brother, my sister, and the person who funded my business. So let us say you then go on New York Stock Exchange, or you list your company in the NASDAQ group of companies, Fortune 500 group of companies. You list it on New York Stock Exchange or anywhere in American stock exchanges. The public then, through different brokers, invest their money in your company. So let's say $100 million comes into your company from the public. By this time in America, your company is doing very well. People know about it. People are already enjoying the services of your company. By this time, you are on Facebook. You are on something, on WhatsApp, on Twitter. By this time, people are downloading your app or whatever it is. They are ordering your shoes. I saw a guy yesterday. He has invented a shoe called SOS, S-O-S. Yellow, red, bright colors. Very nice shoe. He's selling these shoes for $45. And already this guy, his shoe has a satanic influence or connotation to it. But it's a beautiful pair of shoe. No, I beg your pardon. That's another shoe. There's another shoe called Satan Shoes. But the SOS shoes have no satanic influence. The Satan Shoes, I don't want to talk about that today. This guy has invented this shoe called SOS. Or SOSO. And they are $45. Now, generally, shoes in America, good Nike shoes, go for as high as $250. They can go up to $500, $800. He has a $45 shoe that is selling off the shelf, and the reviews are great. What will eventually happen with this guy is a huge company will then come and either buy him off the same way Facebook bought Instagram, Facebook bought WhatsApp and YouTube. YouTube was purchased in the same way. The owners of YouTube founded it, grew the company, and they spent $1 billion to buy YouTube. Today, YouTube makes $1 billion per week in profit. That is generally the way Americans become billionaire. Mark Zuckerberg became billionaire the same way. Bill Gates became a billionaire the same way. Mark Cuban, the founder of Dallas Mavericks, the basketball team, became a billionaire the same way. Mark Cuban started an internet company that flourished in Silicon Valley, sold it for $342 million, and then went and bought Dallas Mavericks and has done other investments. That's the general way that Americans become successful. How do Africans become successful? You cannot copy and paste success. Success has principles. Success understands the environment in which it operates. Success understands the demographics, the intellectual background, the community limitations, the bonds, the family ties. Success understands the trajectory and the trigonometry, the transformation, including the transgressions of a community before it can expose itself or laminate itself or even transpose itself into the consciousness of those people. What is the method of success in Africa in general? If you look at our stock exchanges, for example, Lusaka Stock Exchange. Lusaka Stock Exchange compared to Johannesburg Stock Exchange or Lagos Stock Exchange, Lusaka Stock Exchange is a baby. Some of the listed companies on Lusaka Stock Exchange would include Lafarge, Zambia Sugar, Copperbelt Energy, Zambia Breweries, CEC, I've already said Copperbelt Energy, Tobacco Board, and many others. They are listed on Stock Exchange. But when you look at the numerical value of these companies, let's not even go to Lusaka Stock Exchange. When you look at the entire economy of Zambia, the entire economy of Zambia is a $28 billion GDP per annum, gross domestic product, $28 billion. The economy of Zambia. Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, is worth $100 billion. In other words, the economy of Zambia alone goes into Mark Zuckerberg three or four times. Mark Zuckerberg can buy Zambia four times over. And I mean the whole Zambia. Your furniture, your spoons, your razor blade, your shaving cream, your chickens, your cockroaches. Mark Zuckerberg can buy four Zambias. We won't even go to Elon Musk, the Tesla guy, and the SpaceX. We won't even go to him. So you cannot transpose the American model to Africa. I used to work in a company, in a stock exchange, in a branch of a bank called Merchant Banking. Merchant Banking. Our job in Merchant Banking was to help clients buy shares in companies that were at Stock Exchange, Lusaka Stock Exchange. Our other job was to distribute dividends. Dividends are profits of companies split and shared amongst all shareholders. So our job was to distribute dividends. So we had a share register, and whichever company declared a profit at the end of the year, which was fewer companies, by the way, we would then take the amount of shares. We had a formula, it was a spreadsheet, divide, and then start distributing checks. At that time, there was not even a whole lot of direct deposit, so you had to do physical entries. And I learned pretty quickly, and I was young, 20, 22 years, 21 years. I learned very quickly, and I felt sorry for a lot of people, because I discovered then that a lot of people had wasted their investments into Zambian companies. Please don't get me wrong, but I believe that buying shares in Africa works better for companies, pension funds, retirement funds. When a retirement fund puts $10 million into a company, and that company declares 15% profit on your investment, $10 million by 15%, that means that company has netted between $1 million and $1.5 million in that year. Now, when you as an individual, you invest 10,000 kwacha in a company, in dollar terms, 10,000 kwacha is literally about $300, $330, US dollars. So when that company declares a 10% dividend profit that is due to you at the end of the year, you will have earned $30, less tax and handling fees. These brokers don't just do handle your money, they charge. So instead of getting your $30, you'll probably get your $20. So on your 10,000 kwacha investment into that company, which by the way, you had to pay another $10, maybe $30 to invest, you will literally come out with $20. $20 minus the $10 that you paid when you were getting into that company, you have come back with $10. $10 is 220 kwacha. Now, imagine you've put away $330 for the whole year to get $10. That model for Africa does not work. And some of the people who did this model many years ago, not only did they invest in shares, but they went ahead and borrowed money. At that time, I remember there was a very famous loan called Barclay Loan for Barclays Bank, now Absa. Barclay Loan was literally an aggressive, high-interest loan to high-risk consumers. They came up with a formula that basically used the laws of averages and said, out of these 10 people, 7 or 8 will pay us back. But we don't care about the other 3. We care, we want that money. If they pay us back, we are lucky. But we don't really care about the other 3. But from the 7 that will pay us back, we will make enough money to recover all the money that we gave to the 10. So the risk factor is on the 3. The trajectory and the projected gain factor is on the 7. And our security is in the interest rate. And how much was the interest rate on these loans? It was 48% per annum. So if you borrowed $10,000, let's speak in dollars. If you borrowed $10,000 from the bank under Barclay Loan, your interest rate without charges on that $10,000 was going to be $4,800. So you were expected to pay back $14,800 at the end of that loan. So let us say that loan ran for 3 years compounded interest. By the time you were paying back the Barclay loan in 3 years, your total principal repayment was going to remain $10,000. But your cumulative compounded interest rate at 48% was now going to give total plus interest, you are going to pay about $24,000 back in 3 years of $10,000. Now, that is not only exploitative, it is retrogressive, and it is a veneer of slavery that a lot of people have found ourselves in. So some people borrowed $10,000 at 48%, then took that $10,000, invested it in Lusaka Stock Exchange to gain interest at 10%, and they never saw that interest. So what is the power of dirty jobs, therefore? The power of dirty jobs is the activation of the African methodology of wealth creation, which is the galvanization of anything dirty, tie it to something clean, which is called service orientation. Render it in a projected manner that gives you unique selling points, which are values and virtues that are specifically aligned with you that others may not have. They become a positive business proposition that brings immense customer satisfaction and retention, therefore bringing greater wealth creation, generational wealth, inheritance, and above all, a satisfaction that no one can ever match. My proposal to you today is that the real success of Africa, because of the backwardness of our technology, because of the backwardness of our economies in terms of interwovenness of the micro and macro economies, in terms of elasticity and effect of the slept factors, the social, legal, economic, political, and technological factors on the way we do business. Our success is therefore embedded in our ability to get dirty. A certain man rears broilers, layers, sheep, and goats. He wakes up every morning to feed these. So for 6 weeks, he's tending to the chickens. Very tedious. He has to put the braziers, the heater, the lights. Very tedious, laborious, monotonous work. After 6 weeks, he cashes in his money. He then cleans the chicken runs, goes and orders new chicks. They come in a week later, 2 weeks later. He starts the process again. But every 6 weeks, he has a huge paycheck from dirty jobs. A colleague of mine rears pigs. It takes them 4 to 5 months from the time they are little tiny souls to the time that it takes them to the market. Very dirty jobs. At the end of those months, his wallet is not dirty. A mother in Monze wakes up every morning, starts to fry fritters from the east that she prepared the night before and flour. The dough has risen. She starts to fry fritters every morning. By 6:30 in the morning, so she'll be up by 4. By 6:30 in the morning, 5 people come with freshly minted buckets. Washes face. No, faces washed. Faces washed. Shoes polished and shined. Spirits erect and lit. They pick up their fritters and they go to their various distribution points, selling warm, homemade fritters with a signature taste that leaves your salivary glands watered with sugar, littered with hope and optimism, your souls refreshed and revived, replenished and resuscitated through the sinking of your teeth into that oily, warm, yet healthy fritter. From those 5 distributors that she has employed, she has built houses. A colleague goes into villages every week looking for goats, rounds them up. Meh, meh, they scream as he takes different sizes, different weights, scales and measures. For 1 week, he's sleeping under the trees, in the tents, eating warm meals some days, cold meals other days, and there are moments when there are no meals. After 1 week, he comes back, goes to Kamwala and sells those goats. Per trip, depending on the number of goats, on average, if the goats are around 10, 12, 13, depending on the sizes, he will get a check of 6,000-7,000. If the goats are around 20, 30, he will get a check of 15, 20,000, depending on the sizes. And if he dares book another vehicle to take the goats to Kasumbalesa, where the market value nearly goes 1.5 times higher, net effect after deduction of expenses, his margins go up by 30 to 40%. my friend is building a mansion in Ibex Hill through God's. A colleague saw an opportunity where people wanted their goods transported in a customized manner. He downed the tools of his qualifications as a medical doctor and began to drive a panel van, delivering goods. Sooner or later, he realized his back couldn't contain the weight of wardrobes and display cabinets, of sofas and refrigerators and gas stoves and electric stoves. He then employed two young, desperate yet focused young men to be his assistant. Today, this medical doctor runs a thriving logistic company that has a warehouse, 8 trucks, 30-ton trucks, and 4 light trucks. Through passion, through dirty work, he now employs 33 workers and has huge contracts, subcontracts, with some of the biggest freight companies. Because of his lethal stealth, agile way of doing things, efficient way, he's able to penetrate and permeate areas where the bigger freight companies have no interest in going to. The way of success in Africa is through service, through getting down and dirty. Not dirty by being con artist or lacking integrity and merit, being dirty by serving others. Dangote realized this in the 70s. Through his cement plants, sugarcane refineries, and now oil and gas, Dangote got dirty. And now in his 60s, his bank account is squeaky clean. He's not only Africa's wealthiest man, he's the world's wealthiest black man. From the power of dirty jobs. Strive Masiwira, Zimbabwe, started many, many companies, most of them in telecoms, from Econet to many other companies, even here in Zambia. Fiber optic cable companies, Kwese, Strive Masiwira, London based, South African engineered, Botswana settled, Zimbabwean origin, American. Strive Masiwira is everything but shy of being dirty. The power of dirty jobs. There's a gentleman called Mr. Sendoi. He used to work for ZCCM. ZCCM was selling an arm of their company, which was power transmission part of ZCCM. Mr. Sendoi convinced the management of ZCCM at the time, together with his colleagues, they did a management buyout. In other words, they convinced ZCCM that you give us an opportunity, we'll pay you back. We can access 20 to 30% of your selling value right now from the bank. And the remainder, we need a bit of time. And they got that contract done. Mr. Sendoi now runs one of the largest private entities in the country, distributing power, which they buy from Mamba Collieries and Zesco and Kariba. They then sell to the mines. He is one of the wealthiest individuals in the country. The largest beef supplier in Zambia, though he be a politician, got dirty. Mr. Hakainde Hichilema is the largest individual supplier of beef. Chances are the beef you had last night came from his farms. And he is the wealthiest Zambian on record. The power of dirty jobs. My dear sister, my dear brother, don't be shy to get dirty. Money never says, I came from washing dustpans. I came from making drainages. No. The volume and voice of money is the same regardless of where you go. It's loud and clear. It always speaks of worth and value, of time and chance, dignity and hope. And that is a spirit that must be embodied in you, the ability to get dirty. Never be shy. If you lost your job today, get dirty. Before you lose your job, get dirty. If you don't have a job, get dirty. People will laugh at you. Yes, they always laugh at the determined. People always poke fans at the committed. People always deflect the spirit of those who have a vision for the future. There is power in dirty jobs. Tap that power. Napoleon said, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential power. When you get that going, God will empower you. God will liberate you. And God will put you on a pedestal. Remember, the Bible says, He will bless the labor of your hand. He will bless the labor of your hand. And when you plant something, my friend, very soon you will reap it. Have a great, beautiful, glorious day. This has been your friend and coach, your brother, Mobira now. Coming to you from Zambia, a place where birds fly backwards. Please remember to share this audio with friends. Remember to share with them and motivate them and remind them that there is power in dirty jobs. There is higher turnover and sometimes lesser risk as well. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great, beautiful day. Thank you for joining us on our podcast for today. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, Mobira Sinawa, on our YouTube channel, Mobira Sinawa, on our Twitter account, Mobira Sinawa, and Instagram, Mobira Sinawa. God bless you. See for champion. Bye-bye.